What in tarnation?
Speaking of dates, June 27th through 29th, I will be in Tulsa, Oklahoma. July 11th through 13th, I'm going to Canada, to Winnipeg with Jason Mewes. July 18th, Austin, Texas. July 19th and 20th, Fort Worth, Texas. July 25th through 28th, I'm on tour in Ohio, co-headlining with Cam Bertrand in Columbus, Cincinnati, Cambridge, Canton, and Toledo. August 11th, Phoenix, Arizona at the Desert Ridge Improv. And I just added a bunch more improv dates for September. We just added September 1st, San Jose Improv. September 4th, the Ontario Improv. And September 5th, the Irvine Improv. And we also, on the East Coast... August 8th. Oh shit, these are not going to be in order. Oh well. August 8th, Pittsburgh Improv. September 19th, Palisades, West Nyack, New York, Levity Live. And then Raleigh Improv, October 27th. And Milwaukee Improv, October 24th. Those are all out of order. I will have to get those in my calendar and do that again later.
They're there.
We got dates.
That was how you're supposed to announce dates. I was like, I'm going to be like somewhere. I don't know.
For sure.
That's
but
how
you
do it.
Shouted your socials. So.
Okay.
But yeah.
That was really pro.
AJWilkerson.com for tickets.
Hey. I like what you did. You posted a cover today of My Chemical Romance.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, my God. You have a beautiful voice.
Thank you. It's all AI, but I'm glad. It's backing tracks and AI and Melodyne, and if you
at
kinda...
some point that'll be my entire online presence.
Exactly.
My AI version working clean. My parents will be just hee heeing and ha ha and sharing clips. Not even your daughter.
It doesn't even matter.
Jokes on you.
People don't even actually care anymore at all. I don't use any auto tune or digital fixing kind of stuff, and I don't think people care anymore. I think it's past the point where I care, but like I don't think the audience
gives
a fucking
shit. Most people are just like, is it catchy?
Shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Does it suck really bad? And then you're like, yeah. And they're like, I love it.
No doubt.
Yeah. Yeah.
Open Gangnam Style.
Yeah. Yeah. That's not real, is it? It is. It's
at
Gangnam
some,
Style.
At
yeah.
some point it was.
Yeah.
Well.
Some years ago, however.
I was super stoked. I had the distinct privilege of spending some time with My Chem on their tour last year.
What? Get the fuck out.
Yeah, it was crazy. I was out with this band Thursday. I'm buddies with these guys, and they really kind of jump-started my career, and I was hanging out with them, and I was supposed to be drum teching for them, but I've never drum teched before, and like after the first day, their drummer Tucker was like, just don't even fucking bother. Just hang out. Just make jokes to people. I was like, okay, I can do that.
I'm crying.
Yeah, it's really true.
I believe
they're like, don't even worry about it. Just dance, monkey.
Yeah. So Jeff from Thursday, the singer, he produced My Chem's first record. He kind of found them from the New Jersey metal and punk scene and pulled them out. And so last year, My Chemical Romance asked Thursday to do... open some shows at arenas, and they asked me to come like hang out with, you know, drum tech or hang out with them, and I got to watch My Chem up close. And I've known Frank, who plays guitar in My Chem, for a few years, and he's a super nice guy, and he actually played on my first record, and he's been very supportive of my career. And I got to watch them do arenas up front, and this is not this is true. And when most people talk to me about emo and that genre, I was not a fan of it in its time. And I got to watch it up close, touring with Thursday and touring with Cursive and touring with LS Dunes and touring with My Chem. I got to watch it up close, and it blew my mind. And I'm regretful for not having been in it, because I got to watch My Chem, where at the time I was like, oh, I don't know if I really understand what this is. And then I watched them play to 30,000 people two nights in a row at every arena across the country, and it was like fucking watching Queen. It was crazy. Like, they're amazing.
Yeah, no, I've seen, I saw him, I was a fan of the music in its time. I went to like Warped Tour. Yeah. I saw them at Warped Tour.
Okay.
Fantastic. That's why I love the concerts for like emo or like punk bands or like metalcore or whatever. So much fun.
I did 2 Warped Tours in my old band and I was like very immersed in the scene.
Yeah.
But we weren't really of the scene, so we just became adjacent to it and became friends with a lot of the bands and people in it. And
what were you, like the weird folky band?
No, we were sort of like a like a dub reggae Bad Brains style band crossed with like Clutch and Thin Lizzy and Deep Purple, like heavy rock.
Holy
and
shit.
And kind of blended the two things together, and it was so unpopular that it's we did it for 15 years and it never broke, you know what I mean? It never like spilled over. A lot of it would probably be huge right now, but at the time it was like people were like, what the fuck is this?
When its time has come, it will come.
I mean, we play in
Warped. Yeah. Hey, Steven Seagal put out a reggae.
Right. And it's really good.
Yeah.
No.
Well, no.
No.
The first line of it is "Me want the punani."
Yeah.
Sung by Steven Seagal.
That's so wild.
Who doesn't want to hear that version?
Who doesn't want to hear Steven Seagal do a fake reggae accent and say, "Me want the punani"?
I want to do the first dance at my wedding.
That's very cool.
To Nick Jonas off his second divorce at Dollywood.
I like that.
We'll have the look. I got, you know, we're good.
That's very cool.
This is a long con.
Performed by Travis Yee.
Yeah.
Travis Yeehaw, dude.
I mean, he's been
shouted out. Oh, my God.
Do you know Travis Yee?
No.
He does Asian country.
He's an Asian country artist.
What country?
Here, he's like Wagyu. Asian lineage, but raised here.
Oh, shit. Yeah. Okay. Like is it me. Good?
He has a cover.
He's
of
our
WAP.
Age. He's our age.
He did WAP to Garth Brooks' The Dance.
Wow. Every time I hear
does that sound like talent?
Can I guess if he's got millions of streams and plays and followers, for sure, right?
To be honest, I don't think so. Okay. I think he's still kind of... I think we're just looking for very niche things. Okay. Like, you know, you search for very sliver porn, you'll only find a couple things. We look Asian cowboy music or whatever.
Yeah, what kind of porn was it?
Do you just copy and paste from your porn search into the music search?
No matter what pulled Travis Yee into the fucking orbit.
Anytime I hear about somebody like him, that's like, it's so absurd and it completely pops off. It truly makes me want to kill myself. Like, true.
Says the guy that was trying to do reggae.
Yeah.
Metalcore.
Dubstep. No, dubstep. Not metalcore. It's just sort of like, instead of horns, like heavy, heavy riffs. It's actually really stupid. But we did a tour once backing and supporting Lee Scratch Perry. He was like a very famous, like, produced Bob Marley records and stuff, and he was a big dub artist, and he had a song called Punani. And he, in the Punani, his Punani song, very similar, but he lists out the different types of races of Punanis that he likes. And he names every...
How did it go? Like, sing a little bit of it.
I'm not really in a position to do that, but I can tell you...
If you want, I'll move my mouth and the camera can come to me and you
if
just
If your
kinda,
band were to have covered it.
You kind of throw the ethnicities into my mouth like a ventriloquist.
I see this. I see the game plan here is to get me super high and then have me canceled from saying something bananas.
You can't be canceled. You're not
even possible.
Yeah.
Not even possible.
And people have to pay for this part of the episode.
I can tell you right now, this is the absolute wrong climate in this country to start telling people that Jews are minorities. We'll walk away from the whole subject right now. It's a lightning round. So I do appreciate it though.
Free pal for balance.
Yeah. But if it is true, did you guys purposely sit us like this?
Like what?
Like what?
The two minorities. It's kind of
closest to the camera.
Kind of separated.
Giving you the biggest.
Do you feel like we're in a? I feel
platform?
Like we're in kind of a jail right now. A bong jail.
I didn't put the bong there. To be fair.
I think y'all put the bong there.
I think I did.
You put yourself in jail.
I don't even. How did I get here?
We can move it. No, where would you prefer it?
No,
to
this
be?
Is great. I was just making. We'll move on. I was just making a joke about being on the other side of the partition.
Oh. You don't think I'm a minority?
Everybody, we're all partitioned.
No.
I'm minority enough.
A woman?
Yes. Yeah. That's it. You nailed it.
Disabled veteran?
Okay, now we're cooking.
Brain injury?
Now we're cooking.
Yeah, potential closet queer.
Brother, we're all minorities.
We're all minorities here, dude.
Yeah.
Okay, now I realize that we are all in the same cell.
Yeah,
this is cool.
Yeah, we're separated together. for all of our own safety.
Yeah. Yeah.
For all intents and purposes.
Perfect. Okay.
We are partitioned.
We didn't pad the room, we just padded the seats.
Good. I liked it.
Yeah, it's very refreshing to hang out with comedians.
Why do you say that?
Because I feel like there's a few people who are the exception. Most of the people that I'm like friends with are the exception, but most musicians take themselves very fucking seriously. Like, this is fun. It's fun to hear about people who tour also, but do it from the like performance art, because that's what it is essentially, right? From that perspective, and not talk about your like Spotify streaming numbers, and this is cool. It's very refreshing.
Let's go, dog.
Yeah.
Let's go.
Good. But I'll say on the opposite end of that, going in and out of New York, not all comics talk like this, which is why I haven't really been in cahoots with too many of them.
Sure.
I have way more friends in cross-creative sorts of professions and out of comedy than I actually do comedians.
Okay.
Because of, like, this kind of stuff. Ego is just as rampant in what we do in our office as anything else.
Maybe worse.
But there's something about comedy, though, that it's like the dirtiest art form. Because
agreed.
We're just like, the laughs even, it's like you get a song, there's like a music in between. We're making all sounds with the anticipation of laughter. It's like, fuck me, you
know? There's no faking it, right? Like, you can't really fake a laugh in the moment. Like, if the joke's not funny, no one's gonna laugh.
Yeah.
Or I feel like you could really hide behind a guitar or a song.
Or a fake accent.
Yeah.
I did a fake accent for the first like two or three sets I ever did.
What was it?
It's like super Southern, like Texan.
Wow.
Because that's where I'm from. So I was like, I gotta pull this out, and we're gonna do it just like this.
Okay. Okay. There's a similar thing. Speaking of reggae, like it, there's a lot.
I love this.
There is a lot of fake Jamaican accents in reggae, which I always found to be super weird.
Oh my god, the appropriation.
It's not even the appropriation that bothers me, because like all things are appropriated.
Sure.
Essentially, musically speaking, like popular music essentially comes from like Black America, right?
That's his
joke. So I just whispered to him, "You're Elvis."
Yeah,
joke.
But that's really true. Yeah. It's just like.
I have this thing where it's like the social construct that like everyone adheres to is everything Black people like is fucking awesome.
It's
like,
true.
We like it so much,
correct.
We steal it for ourselves. Ever heard of Elvis?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, but that's fucking, but that's so, that's 100% true. And then it's like, so appropriation is kind of okay in the sense of like, it's not okay to steal stuff from people, but to like pay homage to it or whatever, like respecting it.
Yeah, there's there's good ways to do it and 100%. Bad ways to do it.
A fake Jamaican accent is never a good way to do it.
No, I think most people think Rachel Dolezal is still not it.
I heard she has an OnlyFans.
Sure.
Get the fuck out.
I did. I have not researched and developed that, but I've heard.
Let us know in the comments.
Yeah. chime in. You've subscribed to Rachel Dolezal's OnlyFans.
Wouldn't you subscribe just out of curiosity?
Maybe.
I kind of
want
to know.
I'll
check it out after.
Yeah.
I'll report back. I'm sure I got Dolezal subscriber money.
It's probably $5.
No doubt.
What if this is her fucking white guys?
What if
and she calls it interracial porn?
Oh my god. What if it's
that's
her doing
so
Asian
good.
Shit? I would lose
that's
it.
That's so good. Hot, spicy interracial porn with Rachel Dolezal. It's just her having sex with white guys.
She's like, I'm Black. You guys know that.
Yeah.
I'm Black, but this pussy's Asian.
Yeah.
I'm subscribing right after this.
I'm sort of in.
Yeah, I'm half hard thinking about it.
Rachy.
Yeah.
You got me, Rachel, yet again.
I'm a fan.
You got
the Octobomb still around? Is she still kicking?
She was doing
Dolezal versus the Octobomb.
She was doing porn the last night. I hear a lot of these things now that I realize that everything we say. I'm like, oh, I heard of this subscription
glasses,
pornography.
For sure.
It's because you have those glasses.
For sure.
They're X-ray too, which is
hey
clutch.
Wild. Yeah. Not bad.
Let me know.
Yeah, decent.
If you're talking about my tits, you're a liar.
Yeah, what were those spring roll things that your mom...
Yeah, dude, this is like... I don't even have a bra on, and it's not like a feminist move. It's like, hey, that's just not necessary. But I got a hot hand, like I got a hot hand in the dice game in today's economy, you know, because the best dudes are bisexual and the ones with power and money are pedos.
Yeah. Okay. I never.
So you know, this is a cute little thing, and I got a nondescript Asian face. That's good. Win.
It's pretty. Have you ever thought about going down the path of OnlyFans?
I had one.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, it was a subscriber price of $9.11 a month. I'm not kidding. And I would post the like
that's
lewd,
very cool.
I would post the lewds that I sent to the dudes that I'm actually like doinking in my real life.
Okay.
And was just kind of like, hey, support your favorite artist.
Right. Yeah. That's cool.
And it didn't change my life or anything like that. You know, I didn't like jump a tax bracket or anything. But like I got TSA pre-check. So.
That's awesome.
You know, sometimes you gotta show your swollen A cup to keep your shoes on at the airport.
That's cool.
I'd make that decision 100 times out of 100.
Yeah. Take your top off to keep your shoes on at the airport.
Yeah, that's great. You know, I'm not doing always great math as a half Asian, but I want you to know that adds up to me, sluts. So try it out. Life hack, start a small business.
This is good.
Also, the perspective that like all the people with power are pedos, and you're right.
Am I wrong?
No, you're not wrong. You don't need a bra, but a baseball cap and a fucking like an old school wife beater tank top, and you're every director's dream.
No,
I feel there is a lot of that coming to light now, and I'm curious to know what you guys think about that in the terms of I feel like the pedo stuff has been around. Since there's been kids, right? That's like how power structures work, right?
Roman Empire, you know?
I mean...
The beginning of time.
Only when I want to come. But...
Tower 2 for me.
Let's edit that out. Let's edit that out.
No need.
But...
Let's single that out. Yeah. Let's go deeper.
Clip it.
Zoom in.
But it's so wild. During COVID, it seems to be like that's when people like discovered conspiracies or...
Pedo stuff,
and that I think it's just so crazy now that that's all like it's such a part of the regular conversation when it's been obviously something that has happened forever.
Yeah, Pizzagate.
Yeah,
that was another one.
Yeah, I grew up in D.C. like the D.C. area and like was in D.C. during that and it was like they were like there's a guy holding he's went in the restaurant with an automatic rifle.
So you were there January 6th.
Well, yeah, I was working.
No. This is the Pizzagate thing. A dude kicked in.
Oh,
like,
shit.
The
he went in. Yeah, he went.
Yeah. And was like,
you
I'm
were
here
there?
To save the kid.
No, but I was in D.C. at the time. And no, this is the best part though.
I got fucking hit. I remember
they have great pizza.
Yeah, but I remember sitting in my apartment.
Slice. Fuck me.
Pepperoni
dude.
Was if you wanted a male and not a female. I remember the codes. No, this is real.
Okay, well that's the one.
Except the guy. I remember sitting on my couch smoking weed and watching it kind of on like Vice News or whatever. And
great news source.
Well, I remember them saying the guy was like, "We're going in the basement and we're gonna find a." We're going to rescue the kids. We're going to the basement. And I remember everyone in D.C., myself included, smoking weed and being like, there's no basement in ping pong, in Comet ping pong. There's no basement there. So this guy in his mind is going to a basement because he has these detailed plans that he's gotten off the internet to rescue these kids. Oof. There was never a basement. There wasn't.
No,
there was a fucking, barely a broom closet. And then the guy's like,
a back room.
Yeah, and if you look at footage of the guy getting arrested, it's basically his demeanor is basically like, yeah, I guess I was wrong.
I maybe went too far.
Yeah, maybe there was no Pizzagate. And it's not saying that pedophilia doesn't exist amongst elites. It clearly does. It's just like,
well,
maybe they give you a little red herring, dude.
Yeah.
If you're talking about Pizzagate, you're not talking about the island where they were actually fucking the kids.
Yeah, why would they do it in a fucking populated city when they have an island?
Yeah.
That doesn't make sense. They have
like,
island money.
Well, yeah, and you're not hearing... That's the thing, is like, you're not hearing about good... everyone knows good pedophilia. You hear about it after. You don't hear about it during the process.
That's just sloppy.
Sloppy.
You can't keep that kid quiet?
Yeah. It's not like the news is like, they're, you know, Jeffrey Epstein, people we think he's trafficking kids. It's like, he gets arrested and then kills himself in jail.
I think here's the only difference, and I think we're all kind of in a similar age group, is that, you know, the pedophilia has been always, in every form, every time there's a kid to touch.
Yeah,
somebody got him.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, however you want to look at it.
I never got. It makes me bummed a little bit.
Didn't you, though?
Yeah, but, like, wasn't I, like...
I feel like everybody
I was a pretty cute kid.
Yeah? Yeah. Did you didn't have
like you maybe didn't get doinked, but you got molested, whether you realized it or not.
Is that how it works? Maybe I did.
Freud would say so. Jung also would. They would say,
I don't remember, but I don't think I did.
Yeah, usually when you have your touch, you'll black it out.
Okay.
So you wouldn't.
This got so dark. I feel like that's my energy.
No, it's okay.
It's because you came in with the sunglasses, dude.
I'll remove them for the portion. No, I should, because I feel like it's going to change.
I have overalls the vibe on, but I also look like a walking funeral.
Okay.
You know, it's okay. You're okay. You're in, this is the presence of a...
I'm bleeding. I'm literally dying.
Really?
I'm on my period.
Okay.
Same, dude. I'm literally dying.
Yeah, I already got it on you.
No. But what I was saying,
we're on the second floor, so we're safe from the bear.
Yeah.
The technology we have right now, though, think about this, though. The technology we finally have right now, it's not that there weren't pedophiles ever, but, like, they can't hide now. Because, like, not only is the culture the kind of thing where everybody's like, I was touched, because, like, they feel completely fine to do it, and thank goodness, I guess.
Sure, yeah, yeah. Mm.
This had to stop at some point, potentially. However, it's like, you know, we didn't have, there was no blogs when we were kids. There were just like a lot more things. And this stuff is like, yeah, I've only been alive 40 years, but in a lot of ways, some things are completely different.
Mm.
To even have an AI conversation, for me, sometimes I'm like, I'm too high for this. And I honestly, I don't want to kill myself tonight. So I don't want to think about it because it's so insane. And I'm like, hey, we're potentially midlife only. You know, and like, whatever. I know, but I'm trying not to get too dark, you know, same, but you know.
I fucking hope. Yeah, I hope.
But I think it's just like everything that's happened now, though, that's like they're literally running back the tapes.
Mm. Sure.
And people were acting wildly the whole time, from comics to musicians, and thinking no one was ever just going to say something, even though they've had 4K documentaries like being shot of them since 91.
Yeah.
And there's all this stuff. It's like, oh, guys. You know, but we're watching people really dig down now to be like, hey, they know it's all just like a ticking time bomb.
Yeah.
So a lot of people just like blowing the world up right now is just trying to protect their own ass. They're like, well, I'd literally watch a country burn before I'll just take the fall for like this shady shit I did.
Yeah.
AKA Trump or someone like that. He's not the only one. They're all playing these games, dude.
Yeah.
But it's a different now because like, sorry, but all that stuff's coming out. Mm. You know, but it's like,
yeah,
that's the only different thing. It's like, now we just have to like, we're like, oh, now we for sure know one of our heroes touched someone.
Yeah, it's like that that thing, I can't remember who said it, but they were talking about racism. It's like, it's not that racism has gotten worse, it's that now that we have it on video.
Right, you're witnessing all this stuff, and you know, in for the first time in real time. I think that's
a
pretty wild concept.
Mm-hmm.
I'm way too high.
Yeah, instead of just learning about racism, watching the news and the Rodney King beating, now you're getting like the guy in Central Park.
Seeing
it in
multiple
real time,
people,
right.
Exactly. Yeah. I think that's good in a way, and I think it's really bad in a way, because I think now there's no way to like turn it off, and maybe that's good, but for my psyche, it's incredibly bad because it takes me to a very dark place.
Well, the thought is, like, now that we can all see it, the way to turn it off is to actually scrub it out.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
There's a lot of...
That's a good way to look at it.
Embedded mentalities. Do you know what I mean? A lot of people are...
You have to
dug
go...
in on that position.
Sure.
Entrenched.
Instead of seeing it and changing your mind in real time, too, it's made people dig in more. That's a very...
Yeah,
that's
and awesome. That's what she was saying about, like, some people are just like, no, I'm going to stay the way I am and fuck everything.
For sure. It's a denial. They're like, hey, I see the system updates, but I'm not going to take my firmware out.
Because it's running smooth.
I'm not restarting.
It's running smooth for me.
Wow.
For sure. And everybody, like I said, they got this thing exactly the way they wanted it, where the literal 1% of people controls the still bulk of money. They can play war games. They all fund each other, but we're in a different place now.
Yeah.
We're little kids. They're just like, here's the Challenger blowing up, and there just wasn't like a daily tragedy. 40 years later, there's like school shooter drills.
Wild.
In 10 years, every kid that's in school will have known someone who was like involved, and it's just like that shit makes me kind of sick. But the reality is like, that's what we've become, more weaponized. Technology, you know, like it improved so many things, sort of, but it made us insanely armed, completely disgruntled and divided.
Sure.
And then put us all on the internet, which is heavily false.
Yeah.
Algorithm prioritizing nothing.
Yeah, hard to fight the 1% when we're all busy fighting each other.
Yeah.
Well, exactly.
Dude. Oh, man. I just got like very sad.
Oh, it's okay. Dude,
sad. Yeah.
Hang on.
It's sad.
My buddy Aiden has the funniest school shooting joke I've ever heard.
Let's hear it now. Nothing I want more than a palate cleanser of a school
Mind you, Aiden Tebow, shout out. He's a Minneapolis-based comedian. He's only like 18, maybe 19 years old.
Sick.
And he was like, I hated going to school because I never understood gym class, like dodgeball. Like, why are we doing that? And then all these school shootings started to happen. And I was like, oh, I get it.
Well, I mean, yeah.
Duck and weave.
Yeah. Yeah. It's crazy. Oh, it is. I mean, that's a very good joke. Jokes. And it's fucking, it is crazy, like, to think that's what it is now. But I don't, I read recently about Spotify. And this what kind of affects you guys with comedy albums? Obviously, you can make money streaming your live sets or records. And,
sure.
You could, potentially. I mean,
I got an album that just makes no money, and there's no reason for it to. But sure, I'm just but it could. That's the dream, isn't it?
Spotify has a guy that works for them that makes songs on AI, and he has 630-something releases, and he works for Spotify, and he gets placement in all their lists, playlists, algorithmically, and then the money comes back to them.
That's insane.
So fucked up. It's like the craziest thing I've ever heard.
No doubt.
And I bet people stream the hell out of it.
I think they're very streamed. Billions of streams.
Has to be.
Jesus.
And it's like gamed from within inside the system. It's just like there is no actual winning.
Talk about the system being gamed and shit like that. The reason why comedians can't make money from streams is so musicians get paid for two,
credits?
No, two... royalties.
There we go.
Mechanical and master.
Yes.
Okay, I heard.
So comedians only get paid mechanical. We only get paid for performing the jokes. We don't get paid for writing the jokes.
Which is insane.
That's crazy because that's what you spend most of your time doing.
Yep. Yeah. So we get paid for the performance, not for the master.
Wow, that's pretty crazy.
Yeah. So we only get paid, what are those called? We only get paid one.
Residuals?
Not residual. There's a term for it, and I can't think of the name of it. Copyright. We only get paid one copyright.
Wow. That's crazy.
Yeah. So that's like when that whole thing with Spotify, when comedians were pulling off and back, it's because they found out they're like, oh, we're not even getting paid.
Fuck.
Like everything else. So now they're trying to like fix it after the fact and stuff like
they
that.
They have to. People don't even like music anymore. It doesn't even matter.
And it directly affected me, that whole thing. Because like about 2 years ago, I recorded my first album in Indiana called Asian American Psycho. And so, and I'm with a label here in... Because I'm a mixed child.
Nah, I'm kidding.
I was like, I have to have man.
I know why.
I was like, I have to handsplain this to you after all this.
Puerto Rican.
I know why.
But I put it, you know, I recorded it. I'm with a label here in Nashville called 800 Pound Gorilla. So it was like all done to the, you know, to the T. But that kind of shit with Spotify and all them started up right after the lawsuits. And although it's like great for the industry, it caused like the people at 800 Pound Gorilla to call me early on and be like, hey, we're going to like stall your release because, and you know, they were trying to look out for me. They were like, hey, this is also involving Sirius XM. One way to make money on a comedy album that's probably not going to sometimes even make too much money when it's popular is to get tracks on Sirius because they actually have like a decent payout system. So he was like, if you kind of release this, while this is all happening, potentially, this could really fuck you, you know what I mean? And I wasn't in a hurry. I was like cross-faded high and on shrooms when I did it with an attitude problem per always. You know, it's going to be a rocky road for me. I'm coming like you. 15 years, I'll be like, well, Yeah. Just kidding, I'll kill myself year 10 if I don't have it.
Okay.
I'm 7 years in, hold me to
people,
it.
People really do underestimate that you can always just do that. I've always thought that in art.
That what?
You can just kill yourself.
Yeah, Kurt Cobain.
Well, you don't even have to be that. I mean, if I was as popular as him, I probably wouldn't have done it.
No.
People don't think he did.
Yeah.
That's true.
Courtney. Who owns the catalog?
Show the receipts.
But.
I feel like we need a reset that I made it so dark.
No. It's always dark with me.
Okay.
I'm cool. A Ty K.
Oh. Okay.
And you're one of the boys, and you're not getting out.
I am.
It doesn't feel dark. I'm just also high.
Are we like high and depressed?
They're definitely getting this one demonetized.
Will that happen?
Oh, yeah.
So edit them out. Edit it out.
Oh, no. We have to leave them.
No, you can take them out. If you're not going to make money from it, it's...
I mean, we're only 45 minutes in.
Okay.
We're only like 45 minutes in.
No more. Or is it already starting too late? Should we go?
What's up?
Do we double down on the...
Oh, God.
No, we won't. Let's go forward. PMA, positive mental attitude.
PMA?
Oh, yeah. I love it.
I love the acronym.
Okay.
All right.
It's a Bad Brains thing. Like my favorite punk band.
Bad Brains?
The Bad Brains, yeah. Really like the first all-black hardcore punk rock group from Washington, D.C.
Oh, damn.
Started in the late 70s. 1978 or 1979.
Yeah.
And then they're like they influenced everyone. They influenced Fishbone, No Doubt, Sublime, every punk band you've pretty much ever heard. Damn. My Chem.
Really?
Yeah, Bad Brains.
I've never heard of them. I'm
super fast.
Yeah.
What's the main guy from My Chemical Romance?
Gerard.
Gerard Way. That ended up doing like Umbrella Academy and a bunch of other shit and. I think that's like one of those bands that transcends the genre that they were
100%.
In.
Yeah.
Because the head, like the lead, was just so creative.
Insane. You know what
I mean? And also makes sense as to why like they're like more popular now than they were because he was just ahead of their time.
That's what what I thought when I saw them live for the first time. I was like, wow, this was like 10, 15 years ahead of its time because people weren't ready for like arena rock at that point. But that's like. The songs are massive and really wild. I think I'm really far ahead of my time too.
You know, with the reggae,
just like so, just with everything I'm doing.
For sure,
the glasses.
That's okay.
The glasses are, the glasses. I'll never do them again.
No, they're good.
I love them.
They're permanent.
Yeah, they're attached. Yeah. I glued them.
Yeah,
like
they're
a Robert Downey Jr. vibe.
Yeah,
I really
on.
Like it.
Yeah,
they're on. Okay.
Yeah.
Keep telling me stuff about me, guys. I like this. This is good.
Really nice.
Thank
great.
You.
I like your tattoos.
Thanks a lot. All fake.
That'd be so much worse.
I had them done for the podcast because I wanted to look cool, like tough.
What do you have on your knuckles?
This is my most recent edition. It says Mazel Tough.
Oh, I love it.
Listen, when there's a good bit, I'm fully committed to it.
Dude, I love that.
That's hilarious.
That's put them onto the camera.
Fully committed. This is courtesy of the drummer of Thursday, Tucker Rule. We were on the bus one night and he said, You're kinda like Mazel Tov. And that was it.
Yeah.
So 4 years later it was in my head still. Like I was like, that's one of the funniest things anyone's ever said to me.
That's hilarious. And it fit.
Well, we had to leave some letters out.
For sure.
The message is there.
You can read it.
It's perfect. For me, that is correct.
That's you have a lot of tattoos. Do you have tattoos?
I've got 17.
So we're all covered.
I got a vape shop logo tattooed on me.
Dude, Mazel Tov is so good. It sounds like the name of a show.
We like it?
It sounds like the maybe name that's of like our... a Jewish boxer on HBO.
Okay.
Do you know what I mean?
Maybe that's our podcast we do.
Mazel Tov.
It's music Mazel and Tov. Comedy, and it's Mazel Tov.
Mazel Tov.
I love it. It's just, it's cute. It's funny.
Yeah. It was done, the woman who's done all my tattoos is Nikki Lugo out of D.C.
Oh, shit. Yeah.
She's in South Carolina, but she for years was in D.C. She's done most of my stuff.
I like her style.
Yeah, she's great.
Yeah, Good tattoos are hard to, I mean.
I have, no, well, it's not. we can get into this, but I have some incredibly bad, very bad ones.
At least it's all up there.
My first one was a mirror.
South Power?
No.
You know.
No.
Generally.
It says Soul Power.
Sure it does.
It's
sure.
Very bad. The state Maryland outline.
I'm over it. I can't see anything else.
It's unreal, right?
Yeah.
Very bad.
So funny.
There's one from the Guarbecue, Guar's Barbecue in Richmond. I got. I got some baddies. Got one in Jamaica, Kingston. Yeah, I have a Lucero tattoo, Biggie Small smoking a blunt.
That's not bad.
On this
that's
one.
Dope. All
that's
these
pretty
are,
cool.
You know, that's also kind of what tattoos are. Yeah. And it says a lot to me when I see the way people get tattooed. You know, just you can just see a lot. That's all it is.
But it's supposed to be fun, right?
I have a really bad Rick and Morty one.
Okay.
You want to see it?
Yeah.
I got the joggers on.
It's not bad at all.
Morty's shirt's the wrong color.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter.
I think it's a good tattoo.
No, that's good. I love it.
Oh, my God. Look at that. That's so embarrassing.
It's the wrong color.
I have two. My first two.
South Power.
South
that's
Power.
True.
South Power.
That's brutal.
True. I mean.
I thought it was like the name of a band or something. I was like, wow.
It's so bad. It's so bad. I'm so embarrassed.
It sounds like a Lynyrd Skynyrd cover band.
Is that cultural appropriation?
That's cool. I feel very self-loathing and just embarrassed of my entire existence at this point in the taping. So that's
cool. Fear and Loathing in Nate Birdman.
Fear and Loathing in the podcast studio.
I have a tattoo that says, fuck it if you can't take a joke. And I got it.
That's where great, is it? Though.
It's like right back here. And I got it in Indianapolis, Indiana before I started doing comedy. So clearly I was just operating as a true clown in the regular world.
Yeah.
My first tattoo is from when I was 20 in Terre Haute, Indiana. It's the sports logos of the Pacers. Go Pacers.
Holy shit.
The Yankees and the Colts, which are my three favorite sports teams.
Okay.
And I've got them like a tramp stamp. And I designed them myself. I designed them myself, and they're like bleeding now over the years. I'm 40, so it's like right here, and it looks like PNU. PNU.
Can we see?
PNU.
Which camera would it be?
This
that
one?
Okay.
I mean, yeah.
We'll show it. It's all right.
I feel like it is.
Just tell me when you can see it.
Yep.
That is hilarious.
I'm not proud of it. I'm looking back at it, but I'm not proud. I want everybody to, but I want you to know, go Pacers, go Yankees, go Colts, same old G. Yeah, which side is it? And you can also
center.
See that other shitty one I got that says, fuck it if you can't.
Yeah, that's
it.
A cool one, though.
That one's cool.
That's a cool one.
Just
that's
another
like
another shit brick tattoo. Nice.
That's like a cool one you get. It's like someone who lives in Brooklyn.
But PNU is hilarious.
It's like there's something that's 20 years old.
I will say I feel so much better now.
Thank you. I had to
Thank
show
you.
I couldn't let you.
I mean, I'm walking around like this is bad, and it's beautiful. It's
Thank
so
you.
Bad, it's beautiful.
I know it is. It got elevated to high art because
it's so stupid.
The English bulldogs of tattoos.
Yeah. That could be in the MoMA. It's very fucking good.
And then I said I have 17, but the last 14 have come from this same person in Indianapolis that
cool.
I love. His name's Adam Wollenberg. Go see him. He's
cool.
A G. And he's put some mindlessness on me, but it comes with an art degree.
Yeah.
You know, he does beautiful drawings with, like, ballpoint pens. It's not like whatever you just saw in that chicken scratch.
Oh, that's cool.
But I was also a filthy drunk when I got those early tattoos, so I'm sure I was, like, wiggling around, you know, just doing something ignorant.
A tattoo artist is like, are you sure PNU? And you're like, yeah.
I'm like, I drew it. I know what it is.
My artist is pretty
tough.
You drew it.
I'm not even that kind
That's
of
That's so funny.
And the funny thing is, I
You
even,
tried to blame the tattoo artist! Dude, you blamed yourself!
This is so good.
Oh! Conceptually, I just gave him a design, and now that I think about
what
it...
What was the concept?
I mean, the three teams.
Okay.
You know, my three favorite teams. But I put them in that order. That's how I wanted it. I saw it that
way. PNU.
And I created a butterfly effect.
Oh, it's
course.
A butt...
Well,
is it a butterfly?
No, but think about the placement. You know where like bitches
I'm
get...
I'm thinking about it.
Where bitches get things like angel wings, not this nonsense.
That's so much cooler.
One time a dude hit on me at an Indianapolis bar. I had been like 21 years old, just young slut. And this kid comes up to me, he's wearing a Boston Red Sox hat. And he's like, buying me drinks. I'm like facilitating convo or whatever. End of the night, he's like, come home with me. And I'm like, buddy, I just can't. And he's like, why? And I'm like, I just don't think you want to come on this. And I showed him that tattoo because I got that Yankees right dead center. And this was the only tattoo I had at the time. And I'll never forget. He like spit his drink and he was like, I want to fuck you even more now. You made me laugh. And I was like, I can't though. I have like, I'm not going to have a split home.
This is, I have standards.
Like, I'm not going to like raise a baby in Southie who sounds wicked retarded. I'm already from Indiana. We're behind the eight ball, bubby. I'm not doing this. I got to take my gene pool up. We're healing this bloodline. This I'm not coming good. With you, Matt Damon. Fucking Tardo. And I don't want to be one of those moms. It's like, well, my favorite team is this and its other half is this. I'm like, no, we're one household only. So, yeah, that shout out to that guy. Yeah,
that's not naming a kid Derek Poppy, dude.
No, can't.
We did not so let that cool. guy divide you.
Thank
you.
I really respect that.
Thank you. I know. And you see it. You see that. We were watching the Pacers the other night, so it's like that lunacy has followed me.
He shot a shot, that guy. Though.
I loved it. No, I loved it.
We can't live in a house divided, so we can't multiply.
I'm not going to do a split novelty plate.
That's some Midwestern sports shit for sure.
For sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I'm 80s, 90s Indiana. Like, we were bottle fed on, like, Rudy and Hoosiers.
You're like a Hoosier, yeah.
Oh, I mean, deep. Deep cuts. You know, when I was a little kid, I was like, I grew up and I wanted to be, like, diversity Linda Cohn. I didn't want to be Baron Ali Wong.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
This is because I have priors, so this is my second choice.
Yeah.
It's because I'm lazy and I'm naturally funny, but all of it's wet. I wanted to just talk about these games.
I remember at summer camp they used to put on, remember the TV with on the cart? So during rain days, they would wheel a cart with a TV on it in the gym and they'd always play Hoosiers. With Gene Hackman, and I can tell you right now, I fucking hated it. And I never watched it all the way through. And it's so fucking boring. And I never got into it, and I think it gave me a disdain for sports, like, for the rest of my life.
Wow.
That, and I'm unathletic. Both of those things combined, I think.
Where were you watching Hoosiers based out of? So, like, where
in D.C., in Maryland, okay, in Silver Spring, Maryland.
Remember. Why?
Yeah, I don't know. They just put on Hoosiers. It's a sports movie.
That's what gym coaches do, is they put on sports
movies. Yeah.
And back then, there were only so many. There's not Tubi in every which streamer. Yeah.
We got Coach Carter eventually, dude.
Yeah.
Channing Tatum and Samuel L. Jackson and dude's Duncan. Way better.
Yeah. Yeah.
Way better
also,
than Hoosiers.
Also, did you say Tubi?
Yeah.
Not even own Tubi.
Yeah, who watches Tubi?
I don't know.
Does it exist?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought it was like a
I read about it on
a
the
fake
internet.
Thing people say. Like,
no,
be like,
dude, I'm
yeah, put it on Tubi.
They just hire real people off the street. They don't even hire they don't even act like actors.
Tubi.
It's insane. The shows on there are
I
insane.
Thought it was like a cute way of saying YouTube, honestly. I really thought it was like, let's watch the Tubi.
Not even on Tubi.
It's a thing. Okay, yeah. I'm disconnected.
Yeah, it's like people can like self-publish and shit like that.
It's wild.
Is there crazy shit?
There's crazy shit.
Is it censored?
No. Oh. Not all of it, I don't think.
I don't think.
A lot of ads.
Okay, I'll get through the ads.
We always do.
I think I just found my thing.
Yeah, Tubi. Yeah.
Also, what's the other one that... It's a little bit better than Tubi, like quality-wise.
Voodoo?
No. Freevee. It's one of the other new services.
Are people into it, too? Like, is there a way to get ahead on it?
What do you mean?
Like, can you upload your podcast to it? Can you...
I don't know.
Like, if no one else is there yet, you know? Huh. It's like the first kid who monetizes his YouTube channel or whatever has obviously made millions of dollars.
Yeah.
Because no one was watching.
I know comics put their specials on there.
Okay, on Tubi.
Huh. Yeah.
I just like saying it.
For Tubi. Sure, it's a fun word. Tubi.
There was a meeting just like this, by the way, you know, at the company. They were like, it's fun to say, right? And everyone's just sitting around saying Tubi over and over again.
Tubi.
Yeah.
Tubi real.
Little Doobie, watch some Tubi.
See?
Yeah. Doobie Doobie, dude.
Doobie Doobie.
Scooby Doobie Too.
Is Scooby Doo on the Tubi?
I don't know if Scooby Doo's on the Tubi.
We'll pitch an ad to Tubi where it's just us saying all these different tags.
Scooby Tubi Doo, dude.
This is cool.
Scooby Tubi Doo.
This is cool that you guys monetize this. This is the most insane way that I've ever seen people make money, and it's incredible.
Yeah, it's just out there.
It's
conversation.
So funny.
Yeah, I love it.
Dude, we just said Tubi 17 times in a row.
Is that the most insane way people make money?
No.
Have you seen the Ancient Aliens guy?
I have. I've actually watched Aliens. Every episode.
I have too.
Over and over again. I want to believe.
I do too. I think there's truth in about, 70%.
70?
Maybe.
I mean, we know aliens exist now because of COVID.
Yeah. And no
one cares.
The government
just put it out there. Like, so much shit was going on. They were just like, by the way, aliens are real.
The video, did you guys go through the videos?
No. I can't give my brain to that. I'm already dark, I can't. I'm going to go look at real.
They're awesome, though.
They are?
They're not like, it's not scary. It's awesome.
Yeah? What's the videos of?
Like.
Them jacking off?
That's on Tubi.
The Tubi aliens
getting probed.
Yeah,
the Tubi aliens are acting crazy.
On Tubi, it's just a guy dressed like an alien getting probed. It's not real.
Probing himself. He's probing himself.
They just show like little sort of tic tac sized. I mean, they're it's to scale.
Yeah.
Tic tac shaped.
Shaped. Sorry, not.
This whole time I was like, bro, I'm high, but what? I'm high and smart, and I still was like,
when
I don't.
You said tic tac.
I'm like,
no, I've seen some of them.
I'm like,
yeah.
Just a little bit.
I'm like, there's nothing to fear. They're the size of tic tacs.
I'm like, yeah, that's the size of a grain of rice. Yeah, of course, yeah. I'll flick it off.
No, that show, Three Body Problem.
Haven't seen it yet.
What's that?
It's like a big Netflix sci-fi show based on a book series, but it's about like aliens or whatever.
Okay.
And they have these two quantum computers that they sent ahead of them to Earth that are the size of electrons.
Wow.
So they're unseeable, but they're literally are fucking up the entire world.
This is crazy.
Yeah.
Okay, so maybe tic tac is.
So maybe tic tac sized is bad.
Okay, so they're tic tac sized and shaped. And they sort of are in the pilot, and I mean, you guys were in the armed services. There's not like, I feel like you're the anomaly. There's not a whole lot of like, funny people. Like when you're doing your job, it's pretty serious, right? Like when you're flying a jet.
You'd be surprised.
Yeah,
you're flying a jet.
You'd be surprised. It's gallows humor.
Okay.
But it actually
shines.
Sure.
No, no, it can be very funny. I just
funny
mean like
is valuable in the
military. The temperament of like what you're doing is like pretty serious, right? I would imagine a guy flying an F-15 is not like scrolling through TikTok videos. Like he's
yeah. Well, I mean not while he's flying.
Yeah. So they have these guys that are following the tic-tac thing, and the tic-tac things are like 100 yards in front of them, and they're just going and dropping out of sight, and the guys are on the radio like are you seeing this, and then somebody responds, you kind of can't hear it, and he's like, yeah, that we don't know what that is.
Yeah. We can't do that.
That's not one of us. So that it's real.
That's
and
crazy.
you hear people that are generally, you imagine, take their job pretty seriously saying that it's 100% they're watching it. So
yeah.
Oh yeah.
I believe it.
And in those moments it's so much bigger than you. It's like what nature can do where it's like you're struck sort of dumb.
Yeah, the thing
so
they're
confused.
So
you're going to get the most earnest responses out of people because there's no ability to poker
face. You're
going to
get a genuine fuck.
Something that you've never even considered. Yeah. And then you're actually, in real time. That's so jarring.
Yeah.
Right.
It's a crazy place. It can make people lose their minds or doubt things later or whatever.
And the split side of it, too, I think the split side of it, too, is like either explanation is fucked. It is an alien that came from another dimension or traveled across the universe or whatever. It's here. It's flying around. Or they always say the only other explanation is that it's like technology that we have fucking no idea about that another country essentially owns and operates.
North Korea.
Sure.
Good honor.
I mean, anyone. So that's like, either way, it's not good.
Yeah.
It's not good.
Not great.
No. No.
Little tic tacs.
I'm hoping to get picked up. I don't care who it is. Yeah. I'm just saying, hey, I'm friendly. No, I'm a good laugh.
They're
going to
go to probe you and get one look at that fucking tattoo and they're going to lower you. Right back down.
You don't know.
Actually, she might be in luck, dude. She might be one of the only ones thin enough to fit in that tic tac.
Yeah. Or that's the ancient.
I'm already like, don't worry, I'm the size of a
ancient alien body.
That's the symbol. No, they find the symbol. That's the symbol. That, like the fifth element. That's the missing element.
Yes.
And they find your PNU tattoo, and they're like,
they're like, oh yeah.
They're like bowing down before you. They put a wreath on your head. They put a crown on you.
I knew there was somewhere in this pipeline that I could come into royalty.
You're saving the human race.
God damn it, yes.
You're highly evolved.
Oh my God,
they've been looking for somebody to pee in them.
Yeah. Oh, even better. They've been trapped here. Like the spaceships on Ancient Aliens, they say they're like trapped here. And then they find your code on your tramp stamp. And that's the code that they put. You have to lean your ass against the computer.
I hear that.
The lights come on and you're off. And then
you gotta lean your hood, your ass on the hood like it's a Trans Am.
Yeah. Sick.
Wow.
Yeah. Thank you, by the way.
Yeah, we nailed it. You saved the earth.
You did. Thank you for your service.
You heard it. Come get me.
In a scale of one to bad podcast, where is this at? Be very honest.
It's a good
one.
It's a good one.
Wait,
we're
the
laughing.
Scale is from one to bad?
Yeah. We're at like a 3.
Where do we translate over to letters?
AA?
Yeah, when do we switch from numbers?
Look, any good relationship is communication. I'm just checking in. I'm saying, hey. Are you guys okay?
Look how comfortable the vibes are.
I'm having a very good time. I'm so uncomfortable. I am honestly high out of my mind.
For sure.
And still? I'm very anxious. And I feel like I've multiple times in my head I've replayed the reality of like derailing the whole podcast.
Not even
and
close.
You guys being like texting our mutual friends and being like, this motherfucker, why would you even think about having this guy on? He's like, so unhinged and not funny and has stupid glasses.
No.
Okay.
The glasses are great.
That all happened in my head.
We liked all that. I know. What is so incredible.
These are the things we like about you, Nick.
Yeah. Okay.
You can hold space for like 15 systems running independently but together.
I don't know what you just said, but we all have miserable artist brain. Okay.
We all have miserable artist
brain. Yeah, I think I truly, this is very, very real thing, and it is very funny. I think I suck 99% of the time. And then the other 1% of the time, I'm like, maybe you don't like suck. I mean, it's not good.
Artist
like,
brain.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
And then I do love what I do. Like, I like my songs. I'm into them. I write them. And then I'm like, what am I doing? Just like right now.
that's what I'm looking at. I'm like, what am I doing?
Or did
that's
I
very relatable.
Ruin your show? Or like.
No, that's very relatable. I go through that too. Like, I have mad imposter syndrome.
Okay.
I'm always just like concerned if I'm like, I always feel out of place, but it's like all up here.
Yeah.
But I'm always like, do I belong?
Yeah.
Am I funny enough to be here?
That's what we were talking about yesterday.
Yeah. It's heavy, right? Yeah. I mean, I don't want to get too serious, but it is really heavy. And I've loved comedy for so long, stand-up comedy, because I didn't understand it till I was a solo artist. I traveled with a band for 15 years all over the world. I'm very grateful to have had that collaborative experience. And also when you're on the RV, you feel that camaraderie, and I love it. And I have a band now, but I get a lot of tours now as a solo act. And I go up on stage by myself with an acoustic guitar, and I love thinking about how brutal it is and how lonely it is for you guys and how it's desperately hard. Like, you're in your head all fucking day. And then you have to go on stage by yourself, and there's no drummer that fucking kills it to, like, save you, and no, like, organ or guitar or bass or pedal steel player to, like, save you. It's just, it's you. It's fucking wild. Yeah.
No, I mean, I'm over here. I'm like, you just will make this. Yeah, I mean.
I don't want to get too,
but,
like,
no, but
weird.
That's what it is. It is.
It's why it's so awesome when, like, AJ, he brings his friends on the road. Because, like, yeah, I'm alone on that stage. I might have a great set. I might eat my dick. But when I get off stage, my homies are in the green room. And I know we're going to have a good time.
Yeah. I am very lucky to have toured with this guy, Dario Nixad and Toby Strandvik and my front of house engineer, Dylan Hines. And like, we also do a Cruise America RV, full insurance.
You gotta set it on fire.
We have an air fryer, you know, the whole thing.
The fuck it up kit.
And that's true. Even if the set sucks or the drive is long or whatever, you got your. That's true. You do. You have your crew, and you're like, this is. We can do anything. Like,
yeah.
I mean, I'm still miserable, but.
Yeah, but it feels like miserable for a cause.
Yeah,
you
know,
sure.
It's like what's that fucking Red Dawn? Do you know what I mean? It's
yeah,
like fucking
of course.
Wolverines. You know?
Yeah, 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 yeah. I mean,
we're fighting the system.
Yeah, we're fighting the Russians.
Yeah.
Or it's
well, that's the system, dude. It's all the Russian plots.
Yeah, yeah,
the
yeah.
That are fucking it up for
the
us.
The Russian Tic Tacs.
It's true. Russian
Tic Tacs. The Russian Tic Tacs.
That's what it is.
Creatively, for me, it was just like it's finally my own menu. And I'll live and die by that.
Sure.
You know, I was like 20 years, even before I got in comedy, and just like fine dining, and I know what it's like to serve up 7 courses of someone else's vision. And now it's like, yeah, I'm absolutely hung out to dry half the time on the road, contorting myself into these shapes and build-a-bears of make this work and all these different things, you know, headlining on my own, running auxiliary support for these incredible human beings, you know, just a hodgepodge of things, as you know, and always in development. But yeah, it's definitely don't even feel bad about that. I was like, when you were talking about how you're analyzing as you sit here.
Oh, done. Yeah, I've died.
24/7.
I've died several times during this podcast.
For sure.
I've been like, you fucking blew it.
No, the only thing we blew was a bomb.
Yeah, and that's
yeah,
lung.
Maybe that was it. That's part of it, too. The weed doesn't help the introspection, obviously. Spiraling.
Oh, it does for me.
It's good for you.
Yeah, yeah, same with me. Same. I run smoother on it.
Yeah. Also my joints, too, because my body's all kind of fucked up.
Okay.
So like motion for the lotion.
Keeps
lotion
me
for
in
the
all
motion.
Of the places the light touches.
Wow, okay. I use it mostly as a writing tool, so when I'm stuck in the studio, it kind of gives me a paradigm, like it changes my perspective, and probably not the best thing to do for like staying on your toes in like a rapid fire conversation, but it's good.
Yeah,
no, I enjoy it.
Yeah, it's, I like the
weed can ramp me up even, you know, and I'm already an upper.
Are comics do cocaine still?
Oh, for sure, some.
A lot of them.
Cool. Because it's like the confidence thing. It's like the speed of it. Okay, yeah. I could see that.
I couldn't.
Yeah, I can't.
I just don't see how I could be funny on coke.
Yeah.
I just don't get it.
I can't see how I can be alive on it.
Right.
Yeah.
Like my brain already produces a chemical.
Yeah, you're going. I can't. Well, I should say that I've never done it. But if I were to have done it, I would imagine it'd be very hard to play sets on, because you'd probably play way faster than normal, and it would dry your singing voice out, and then you wake up the next morning with like severe anxiety and depression.
Yeah.
But I've never done it.
Yeah.
I've never done it.
I have.
I've done it.
I know. I was looking at you.
I lied. Sorry.
In my drinking days, I had a couple coke years because I had like an industry bartender boyfriend. So it was just always around, you know, but it was just like a piggyback onto booze.
Yeah.
But the thing about coke is like I haven't done coke in the 5 years I haven't drank, because like never have I met a single person who was like, I was like, you know, the best version of Todd? When he's on coke.
Never.
Never have you ever heard that sentence about someone. Like, you know, Todd can get a lot of work done, but that's not Todd, you know, in a high-functioning way, like sleeping, finally, you know? But there's, like, things I miss
that's
about
hilarious.
It.
No one's ever been like, that's the best version.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you hear a lot of business plans on it from other people. You
for
hear
sure.
a lot of,
God damn.
What we're going to do. The next time we hang out, and it's like none of this is ever.
A lot of drawn out plans and schemes.
Straight up.
A lot of here's what we're gonna do, team. You're gonna loop
to
the basket.
Yeah.
The plays never get ran.
Yeah.
No, and you're up at 7 in the morning going, Jesus Christ.
Theoretically, if I had done this when I was a competitive vapor, I used to drop like bombs.
I'm sorry.
I know.
I'm sorry, Sid. Pause. Oh. A what?
Competitive vapor.
Yeah, like, that's a thing, Nate.
This is like to see who can get popcorn lung the fastest? What's the... Oh, okay. That's actually fucking awesome.
Like, okay. I used to do, like, tricks and, like, see who can blow the biggest cloud, like, cloud
like
pops.
Like a smoke shifter.
Yeah.
Yeah. It sounded better than competitive vapors.
A competitive vapor. He used to travel around the country and do
that's
expos
real.
And
just a yeah. smoke signal.
I really have to find a new like people truly, music's over. Music's dead, dude. We're talking about competitive vaping now.
Well,
people
it
want...
died. It died too. It's over. Oh. Yeah. And a little
so
run.
just like music. Okay,
yeah,
great.
It's in the graveyard.
Sick.
It's done. But when I was competitive vaping, theoretically, if I had done this, I used to drop off like bumps to college kids. Yeah, I used to. That was like my side gig. And every time, I swear to God, I'd go to some like frat house or like party, go into their basement, sample, and then as soon as that was over, they're like, "All right, so I think I should start a car wash." You know? And then I'm just
trapped
there for like hours, just like,
oh man. I hear it from musicians, managers, people corner you. Yeah. and it's so wild because you're just like, I know, like the only reason to do it is to stay up to drink more. That you should never say things on it.
That's why I would do it.
Of course, you start walking like this, and if you do a bump on this side, it kind of straightens you out.
Yeah. The blackout tank gets like 2 more hours on it before my boyfriend at the time has to put me in a car.
Yeah.
Because I'm screaming obscenities in front of the bar he works
straight
at
up.
Because I guess I thought I could be behind that bar. You know, I would just be pulling some princess maneuvers. Like one time I emptied my bag onto like a busy dance floor, you know, scrambling around for a lip gloss. You know, just a fucking,
I'll be honest with you. I've come full circle. I was like, ugh, it's gross. And then the more you talk about it, I'm like, maybe we should call your friend. Maybe we should make a phone call.
You've got back those glasses game, on. You make the call.
Yeah.
I'm not a little bitch, so whatever.
Okay, yeah.
I mean, the worst thing that'll happen, I'll have 2 wild sets with them tomorrow in Atlanta. Hopefully get fire off 2 more in Chicago and they can send me off to rehab.
Done and done.
Oh, I'm not participating. I'm just
watching. I'm done. This
yeah,
be
this
good.
Done. I'm
yeah,
also
we
done.
Can't.
No one's doing coke.
No.
We can't. No. No keep calm and bump.
Well, all
right, so we got to go do coke. Thanks for tuning in.
They're like, is this on 2x speed? They're like, no. They're doing coke
it's
right now.
It's on Tubi.
Oh!
This is your brain on
that,
Tubi.
Maybe that's the cool new way to say it.
Oh, yeah.
You want to do? You guys do Tubi?
I got a little Tubi.
Yeah. You guys want to go to the bathroom and watch some Tubi?
Dude, they keep...
People watch it in the bathroom because it's so shameful to watch Tubi. They're just actually in the bathroom watching Tubi over a toilet seat. Yeah, everyone's leaning over the top of the toilet and you're like, hey, can I get in on that? And you see it and you're like, oh.
Real Housewives.
Never mind.
That's a funny sketch.
The whole thing is like, what's more shameful?
Yeah.
What's on the thing? Like, what part of this is the worst?
Oh, fuck.
That's very good.
Tubi. Somebody's like, hey, are you doing coke? And he's like, are you watching an adult animated Tubi original?
Don't judge me.
Yeah, I feel like also, too, it's such a dangerous time to dabble in any of it. Cause
that
of
was a long time ago when I was
Oh, I wouldn't touch
it.
It
was
yeah.
April. Yeah, I get it.
Yeah. Allegedly.
Yeah, it seems like very scary. And
yeah, I wouldn't touch coke now with someone else's dick. It's just a bad look. And from what I hear, the quality sucks. And I ain't, you know what I mean? I'm not going to have a Lynn Bias moment potentially for some like
Maryland legend.
For some mids, yeah.
University,
are you
University of Maryland legend. That's what they taught us in Maryland in DARE.
What?
They literally used, they said Lynn Bias did cocaine one time and died. Well, clearly that's not the case, but he was for the University of Maryland. I think he got drafted by the Celtics.
He did. So the way that you know, we're same age, like basically same year.
Lynn Bias.
And you know where, I'm growing up in Cornfields, Indiana, and like you said, they had you watching Hoosiers. That's what's happening over here, but we were told about Lynn Bias for that same reason.
Wow.
Since it's like a part of the DARE program to be like, hey, and I loved sports, so it really hit me hard because I was like, wow, that's fucked up. So all the way into, I didn't even do coke for the first time until my early 30s because I was thinking about that fucking ghost.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Who probably got a laced batch.
No,
you know, nothing.
He probably did so much. Like,
for sure.
He probably didn't.
He was celebrating getting drafted.
Drafted, exactly. He's yeah, they don't describe what the scene looked like, and
never.
I bet it was fucking awesome.
Yeah, no, we got taught the Lynn bias, like the, you know, the he had his whole future taken away from him, and he ruined the hopes and dreams of an entire city, and Lynn bias is the reason Boston is so racist.
Oh, wow, wow. Okay.
That's very funny. That's very fucking good.
That's Florida. That's Florida curriculum. Right Damn. Now, you can read some similar story to what
Crazy.
AJ just said.
So yeah. you grew up in Indiana?
Mm-hmm. Like small town.
Okay. And you grew up?
Small town Florida.
Okay.
Small town Texas. Wow. Which I'm sad I missed out on that version of Dare, because they just told us we were going to like do drugs and then follow pink elephants floating off of a building. That's what they told us.
Also they encouraged you.
Yeah, also sounds fucking awesome.
I know, it's like beautiful imagery, beautiful.
I've paid for that experience many times.
We did. That's another place we went in Vegas, whatever that little place with the walls. The Imagination Station.
Shaq's Fantasy Lab.
There you go.
So, Shaq.
Yeah.
Shaq.
So you could smoke weed Vegas just anywhere?
I mean, we were...
Pretty much.
Yeah. It's decriminalized.
On the casino floor, we were just...
Holy
I mean, not
shit.
Joints, but we were...
It's crazy.
Yeah, like a pin, you know?
Starting out touring in 2002, it's so crazy the difference now. The places you can smoke and like...
What you can just do.
Dude, check this out. The very last night, me and Taryn stayed an extra night, and we stayed in the M Resort and Casino, which is like the official hotel of the Las Vegas Raiders or whatever. And when we checked in, they're like, oh, you're in a suite that is smoking optional. And I said, what the fuck is smoking optional? And they're like, oh, well, some of our guests enjoy, like, cigars, and they like to, you know, things like that. And I was like, so I can just smoke in the room. And they're like, well, it's smoking optional. And I was like, that means I can smoke in the room.
That's rad. And good
of course.
Enough.
Yeah, I mean, so I smoked a big old fat joint in that motherfucker.
And just chilled.
That's code, chill, dog. Dude.
That's so Vegas.
Use the soap dish as an ashtray.
Beautiful. Say less. Yeah, none worse.
Yeah. We used to tour with a guy, do you remember High Times Magazine?
Yeah.
And they used to, High Times Magazine gave us a booklet from Normal that had a list of all attorneys that would help you with weed cases state by state.
Damn.
Because that's how crazy it was to travel with weed or get weed in like Kansas and fucking Illinois. And I mean, even parts of California was still super illegal like before they passed it. It's nuts now. You go to Vegas, where 10 years ago you would get arrested for it.
Yeah.
Dude, New York City.
Crazy.
New York City, you can just smoke weed outside, and it's like, you guys still have people in prison for this, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's
weird.
Well,
we went to that weed cafe where we were inside.
Yeah, weed cafe where you can legally consume marijuana indoors in the premises.
They bring out a dab rig. They
and
have
Woody
these
Harrelson
cocktails.
Woody Harrelson has a place like that in LA now.
WeHo. Yeah, I even, living in Chicago, it's weed legal, but they're in the suburbs. We do a show there, a comedy show, which is a disaster because everyone's blasted high.
Yeah.
And not in the ha-ha-ha way, the catatonic way where
Sat
you're just
your
20 minutes of, like, watching people hit gravity bongs. Like, I don't, I'm not actually getting paid
just
enough for
this.
20
minutes of everybody being like,
she's
are
so
we in a tic-tac right now? Are we in one of those tic-tacs right now?
Yeah. But it's a dab bar, and you're going to smoke in there, and they'll bring out all the different kinds of puffcos and rigs.
Yeah.
You get a gram of, like, whatever, and you can just, I don't think that would have kept me from being an alcoholic. I would have just gone there, too. But it's kind of nice to have that shift in, you know, talking about 40 years and things changing a little bit.
Yeah,
for
I mean,
the better.
It's interesting. So, I mean, it's not interesting, but I'm half Canadian, and my family's from Montreal. And in 2012, I mean, Canada was so far ahead on the weed thing, it was crazy. In 2012, on tour in Toronto, there was a place called the Vapor Lounge, and it was a bar for weed, leather couches, and super comfortable bar stools. And behind the counter, instead of alcohol, was candy and cookies and cakes and pies and cereal.
Dude. I'm quiet, bro.
Ice cold milk.
And like a humidor of,
no.
of joints.
Cry.
And
any kind
like
of
that.
No, no. So this is crazy. So it was I'm pretty sure it was bring your own weed.
Fuck
wait,
yes.
Wait, even crazier. They brought you out. You say, like, you pay $5 to get in, you get a table, and they say, hey, you're gonna be here for 2 hours. Okay. What would you like? Volcano. Bong, rolling papers,
holy
whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And you sat there, and then a waitress would come over and be like, here's the menu, the snack menu. Imagine a bowl of Fruit Loops, whatever.
Okay, ever. That would be dope. That's kind of what this place in Vegas was, but you ordered your shit from them, so you would just order,
even
like,
cooler.
We ordered dabs and shit like that. They mm-hmm. brought us out, like, the rig, explained everything to us. They had, like, THC cocktails, mm-hmm. so a waitress coming around with cocktails, and they had a lady pushing around a snack cart, like a snack trolley, with, like, Skittles and Twixes and M&Ms and shit on it.
Yeah. We, like, started out each... There's, like, four things of, like, concentrate that we were smoking on, but we started, like, as an appetizer with a pre-roll. We're like, we'll take a little amuse-bouche, if you will, garçon. We'd like a one-gram... Like, kill-yourself joint. Yeah, that's...
This is wild.
Yeah, it was rad. You picked a strain that... What was it? It was, like, a specific strain you picked, and you were like, I'm gonna get these kids off.
Oh, yeah.
No, we did.
All of them. We picked, like, the joint, the strain of the joint, and then picked the strains on all, like, the concentrates and dabs.
How do you stay up?
We did.
We couldn't finish at all.
Yeah.
We were like, shit, we got a place to go. We would have needed, like, 3 more hours in that
place. We went and got In-N-Out Burger after that.
Yeah.
Which is so good, as you know. But if you think about all the tomfoolery we just said from only the dab bar, and then put on top of that, like, basically 8 to 10 days on the road. Okay?
I know this mental status.
Guess what? That means Hannah almost, true story, pooped my pants in the lobby area of the Fontainebleau, the nicest hotel I've dated in the 1% before, like, flown private, and I almost pooped my pants.
She almost pooped her pants in the lobby.
A fucking Vesuvius-like feeling. All I said to Thomas, they're shooting promo out in the front, and I feel a moment of just, that little,
tightening.
Yeah?
Where it makes one last attempt to close.
The gurgling.
And I realize, even as a person with unlimited words, I realize you're down to some of your last words, so don't mince them. And I look at Thomas, and they're just, like I said, shooting promo. Come see us tomorrow. I'm about to throw up on one end or the other. And I say, I'm going to try to find a bathroom. He doesn't see the dire straits in my eyes. I get into the middle. I look around. It's huge. It's bright white, beautiful lights. It's Mother's Day weekend, so it's full of flower, orchids just everywhere.
We're talking about Vegas hotel,
like,
lobby.
Busy.
You know.
Yeah.
You know, so I get in there.
The fucking checkout counter's a mile away from the door.
Everything's just spacious. It's just the most spacious.
Are you, walk me through the process.
I basically just walk in.
Clenched?
The door's open.
Are you fully clenched?
It's not a clenched situation. It's just I feel it's cabrewing.
But the faster you walk, right, doesn't it sort of...
It wasn't like that. It's just like
butter.
I knew I had volatile contents, okay? I didn't know when they would whatever.
Yeah.
I'm not privy to that information. I just know I'm feeling Pop Rocks and on acid.
You know those
Pop
movies?
Rocks on acid.
You know the movies where they find the old dynamite and they're like, careful, it sweats.
Yeah.
She's in that phase. She's like, oh,
so
I don't know when this might go off.
I walk in, I'm like literally watching my life flash before my eyes like a reverse highlight reel. I'm thinking, this is so stupid, but what a beautiful place. I even remember thinking to myself, if you poop here, it's on marble. And for someone, they'll end up making like a film about this later, and it's gonna actually be an easier cleanup for Guadalupe than you going fucking Pompeii all over that suite, because that's some carpet. And they don't wanna replace that, and this is all custom. Don't do this. You're gonna get banned before you've even made it. You suck. So I see all these thoughts are going through my head. I mean, I saw it all. Like, oh yeah, you got sober, but here's karma. Watch it.
Okay.
Ha ha ha. And I see a lady, she's like popped out, a worker. And I say, hey, where's the bathroom on this floor? I had to have been sweating. You know, I'm seeing visions that aren't happening. I'm like hallucinating.
There's just not even thought. A lady.
Yeah.
It's just a broom.
But the lady said to me, she's like on the other side of the lobby by a ride share, which you know, it's a whole nother.
So far away.
I mean, we might as well have to cross a desert and a casino both. They seem
Holy
both as improbable. And I just thought to myself, that's where I gave up. So she said it, and I realized I don't have enough steps. So wherever I was there. And I meditate a lot. So I was like very, on the outside, I think looked calm. But on the inside, I was toast. So I turn a corner, and I was about to go sit down and just like, you know, to evaporate or whatever. And they are walking in. And fortunately, we had access to this VIP area where it like has this, you can kind of short circuit. It's like getting a fast pass. at the whatever.
Instead
six
of
rides.
Having to walk all the way around to go to the elevators,
you straight can through.
Through. Through. Yep. So yeah. I see him. I just drop into formation, and I think yet again. I think yet again. I hope no one says anything to me. I don't have enough words. I don't want to say anything. I don't want to even. And I was like, so I get on the elevator. We're on the 60th goddamn floor. It's not four floors. 60. And other people pop on. We stop on the 57th for no reason. I almost threw up. I think that part of me almost cried.
I'm going to shit my pants hearing this.
Dude, that was the best part. Was we had the elevator to ourselves. The doors were closing. And then this Mormon-looking ass dad just like catches the door, holds the elevator.
I
would have
kicked him in the face like a
family, while his like five-piece family joins us in the elevator.
Yeah, he looked us dead in the eyes and looked back and was like, we can fit.
I would have done the 300 thing and kicked him in his face.
I didn't have the strength. I didn't have the strength.
If she had moved her leg.
Yeah, so did you?
So we didn't make it. And
well,
you know.
Well, the funniest thing on the elevator is we're going up. Taryn, I have like her a drink and she like, it's so quiet. We're packed in like sardines. Our backs are against the wall. She's leaning over like a bird to like try to get a sip and like grabs a straw and does a little sound. And it made me laugh, so she started laughing. We can't stop laughing. Thomas is laughing.
I'm dead.
Now it's just an awkward laugh. This family thinks we're laughing at them.
And I'm standing along the back being held up for God's knows
You're
what.
Focused.
I'm not kidding. Thomas told me the day after. Because, you know, you got to recount some of this shit. And he said, he goes, Hannah, I saw you on that elevator. And I just remember thinking, that bitch looks so calm. Because I had gone through all the stages of grief, bro. I had gone from everything
she'd
from like
acceptance.
Denial to like, oh yeah, this is what you get when you cook up a gram of weed and all the pre-rolls you guys have had on the road from Oregon Roots, shout out. You know, this whole nonsense to a half like drank coconut water that Taryn gave me at the pool earlier.
And you
that
made
was
it.
Warm and a lobster quesadilla bacon in the sun. All these things are beautiful when they're not all together. And so I had this moment, I make it, but this is the truth of the story. I get into this and we're in the most beautiful room. So it's like, fortunately, one of those things where it's like, Christ. The bathroom itself is so partitioned from everything else. You might as well have been in a vacuum seal. I wasn't like, oh no, everyone will be
sad. Everyone has to listen to me.
Me pour buckets of water into the toilet.
Yeah, Hampton Inn bathroom.
And I'm literally clammy.
Everyone's just sitting on the edge of those two queens.
I'm no stranger. I'm no stranger to this scenario.
Those are the kind of rooms that my tier of comedy is given as a reward.
I pay for
it. Oh no. Everyone in this the floors above and below me can hear me in this La Quinta.
This is different. I even had those moments of like gratitude where I felt so bad. I was like, I spent the next 90 minutes like just basically like this way.
Yeah.
And you know, and I had my face, like I said, pressed against cool marble, beautiful marble. Beautiful marble, just everything impeccable. The toilet paper that I'm going to ruin is a dove. It's so good. What a life. What a life, you shit brick. I had to text them. We were supposed to podcast. I was so fucked.
Did you get it all out?
No, the next day we had to pod, but I had to spend the night, and they went to the casino. I went to sleep.
Holy shit.
Because I was in the bathroom?
I came out. I came out, and then you guys went down and played craps or whatever, but I went straight down, and I just said,
we're like, we're going to leave her alone for a minute in case she shits in the bed.
That's fucking crazy. I had a very similar experience on tour. In Wisconsin.
Okay.
Remember we were talking about Wisconsin?
Yeah, where at?
It was Madison en route to Minneapolis. Sorry, reverse that.
Minneapolis
on the way to
Madison.
Gotcha. And
94.
The headliner at the time had given us a bucket of KFC and a pizza for dinner, and we didn't realize that pizza and the chicken had been just like kind of sitting in their van for a couple days, and I didn't know.
No.
And I kind of got to it before anybody else, and I ripped up some fried chicken, and then that night we were parked. So we used to tour in a 15 passenger van with bunks built into it, so we had five or six guys sleeping in a van, and we parked at truck stops. But we'd have to park at the furthest end to kind of like avoid the other truckers,
right?
200 yards between the van and the bathroom. And at 3 a.m, and I'll never forget this, this is the lowest point of my adult life.
I love it.
I wake up and I feel essentially liquid pouring out of my body in my pants. And I instinctively, into my cargo pants, into my pants, and I wake up, and I'm like, I knew right away, you have food poisoning. It was 6 hours later. You have food poisoning, and you're gonna shit and puke all over these guys who are sleeping that have done nothing but given you their loyalty and been on tour, you know, following you around on tour. So I run, shit, I'm still shitting my pants. My underwear's filled, it's now seeping through the pants. And a wave of nausea hits me at the same time, and I don't know what I'm gonna do, and I get to this like Flying J. And you know, they have trucker showers. And whoever's up there or down there, there was a door cracked open. And I went into the shower and proceeded to cover myself in my own feces and vomit. And then I stripped fully nude. My clothes were destroyed. It was in my shoes everywhere. And I have food poisoning. So this is true. I turn the hot water on. And you know, this is a trucker shower.
Yeah.
The water kind of only goes to hot. I'm on the floor, on the drain. This is like a dog on all fours. The hot water pouring down my, this is no hyperbole. The hot water pouring down my back. And every time I go to puke, I am also projectile shitting. This is totally real.
Wait, I know
so,
you are.
So I'm looking down. This is also, we're going to get very real. I'm looking down into this drain.
I mean.
Which is clearly filled with the extra love of whatever truckers have been in there. So my face is this far from it.
The water is
splashing down on me. The puke's going everywhere and then kind of like going into the drain, making this cauldron of
puke and shit.
Of failure.
From your face.
So at this point, I'm like 8 years into my touring career and I'm like, this has to get better. Like life has to go up from here because this is the true bottom. So I end up passing out.
That's a lot.
This is true. This is a very strange story, but I want to. Can I tell the completion of it?
Because finish.
It's so bizarre.
I'm here.
So bizarre. So my tour manager at the time is like, "Fuck, dude, you gotta go to the hospital because I passed out. I was in there for 3 hours, passed out in the bathroom, and water running. He comes in. He's like, "Dude, I mean, I think he was also like shocked at."
That you aren't dead, potentially?
He's seeing me fully nude for the first time. It's not good. It's not like he's coming in, he's like, "All right, dude, we'll get you to the hospital." He was like, "Dude, you're like..."
Especially when you're
like that,
like a greased pig.
Oh, yeah.
All substances.
He's like, "You look like this naked and you have food poisoning. We have to get you to the hospital." So he takes me to the hospital and they do an IV drip and give me a bunch of meds. And within an hour, I feel like much better. Mm-hmm. And the nurse was like, "We're going to keep you here for the night, and then you can go home tomorrow. You're severely dehydrated." And we, at this point, we were so tight on budget that we had to play the show to make enough money to get to the next town. And the show was at Reggie's in Chicago.
I've been there. I just did a show there the other night.
So, I get on stage, basically have like meds with me. I play the show, and after the set, I'm just like feverish. And still destroyed from food poisoning.
Oh my God.
But I had to play the show. And the show was awesome. I go into the dressing room. I take a hot shower. I was on twos this time, standing up. And I pass out in the dressing room. And there's two more bands that are about to go on. And I wake up like a fever dream. And this is true. The headliner, who was HR from the Bad Brains, which is my favorite band, and we're like on tour with them. He's sitting in a chair adjacent to, like, perpendicular to the couch that I've been passed out on for 2 hours. I don't know what time it is. I'm just, like, waking up from this, like, I haven't slept. And he has triplets, three sisters, all strewn across his lap, feeding him mashed potatoes and gravy from the same food
spread that you got sick from?
Yeah.
No.
And he had sunglasses on and he had these triplets. And it wasn't like, it wasn't sexual in any way, but they were spoon feeding him with their hands this mashed potatoes, and it was
It was real. It really happened.
And for you to come to.
Oh, it was that.
Seeing
yeah.
that fucking.
So you telling your shitting in the pants story immediately zapped me like, back to that place.
Of course, because there's a beauty in it too. Like they're in that juxtaposition. Like I said, I found moments of gratitude, yeah. acceptance.
The only position I was in was like a dog on all fours.
And it downward was, dog.
Downward. Yeah, you were down.
I was down bad. Downward bad. Downward bad dog.
Yeah, put, yeah, you're about to put you down. Dog.
Brutal. It was brutal.
Yeah, oh that was.
But you have to do it as a performer. You have to just do the show. There yeah. is no. That's there's crazy. No sick.
Speaking of doing shows, do you have any coming up?
I do.
Give us your cool. social, this, your schedule.
Cool. All my socials are Nate Bergman Sings at Nate Bergman Sings on Twitter, TikTok, Instagram. I am headed to Europe and the UK to do a tour that's about to get announced very quickly. And then I'm also headed to the UK to do a full UK tour with Amigo the Devil, Danny and crew. He's my favorite songwriter and one of my best friends in the whole world. And I'm so lucky to be able to go out and tour with them across the UK. That's going to be amazing. Then I come back to the US to support Thursday. Across the U.S. for some select dates, and I'll do some headline shows, and everything's at Nate Bergman Sings, NateBergmanSings.com. I'll be doing some shows inside of a Tic Tac coming up soon. So.
Hell yes,
dude. Hell yeah,
yeah. And thank you guys so much for having me. This was a blast, and I hope it wasn't like too dark.
No, no, no. Oh my god, that's real.
Okay. Speaking of dates.
June 27th through 29th, I will be in Tulsa, Oklahoma. July 11th through 13th, I'm going to Canada, to Winnipeg with Jason Mewes. July 18th, Austin, Texas. July 19th and 20th, Fort Worth, Texas. July 25th through 28th, I'm on tour in Ohio, co-headlining with Cam Bertrand in Columbus, Cincinnati, Cambridge, Canton, and Toledo. August 11th, Phoenix, Arizona at the Desert Ridge Improv. And I just added a bunch more improv dates for September. We just added September 1st, San Jose Improv. September 4th, the Ontario Improv. And September 5th, the Irvine Improv. And we also, on the East Coast... August 8th. Oh shit, these are not going to be in order. Oh well. August 8th, Pittsburgh Improv. September 19th, Palisades, West Nyack, New York, Levity Live. And then Raleigh Improv, October 27th. And Milwaukee Improv, October 24th. Those are all out of order. I will have to get those in my calendar and do that again later.
They're there.
We got dates.
That was how you're supposed to announce dates. I was like, I'm gonna be like somewhere, I don't know.
For sure.
That's
but
how
you
do it.
Shouted your socials. So.
Okay.
But,
yeah. That was really pro. Yes.
AJWilkerson.com for tickets.
Thanks for coming to the Tard Yard. Join the Patreon.
Tardation Nation. Patreon.com/TardationNation.
That's so funny.
Exclusive pre-roll episodes, and you're missing out if you're not there. Just saying. We're completely unfiltered.
Thanks for coming and doing what you're doing.
Dude, thank you.
It was awesome.
This was fun.
I really hope it was good. Nervous.
No,
this was fun. This was a lot of fun.
This was fun.
We got kind of serious at points, too.
Yeah, but
is
we've
that
done,
good?
We've done
that's
before.
Good.
We've had
entire episodes that are just like...
We had a whole mental health episode when we
and like
off
no
it.
One watches them.
No, people like those.
Yeah.
That's cool. Yeah. Thank you guys so much. Yeah, I'm super stoked.